You're listening to Through the Funnel, where we demystify Chinese medicine. I'm your host, Mallory Jaimo, and this is episode number 6. Hi, welcome to Through the Funnel. I'm Mallory, and today I am joined by a patient of mine who chose Chinese medicine to help heal her body post-Western surgery and treatment. Heather's persistence, patience, and dedication got her the results that she knew she could have. Her journey and our journey together holds an extremely special place in my heart, and it's too good not to share. I hope her story and radiance inspires you. Heather, thank you so much for being with me today. I really want to start from the beginning. Okay. What brought you to Chinese medicine?
I had had melanoma. And I had had a reoccurrence 2 times. So I had melanoma 3 times in the same spot. It was on the side of my face by my left eye, like by my temple. And I took obviously the traditional kind of prescribed route for all 3 instances of it. So the first time, it was biopsied and determined that it was a white melanoma, which is really rare. So that was removed. At that point, it was in situ, which means just on the surface. So that was removed. Less than 12 months later, it returned in the same spot. I had another surgery that was a lot more extensive at that point. It was like a longer surgery and was done by a plastic surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic who did a really great job, but it was a big spot. But also, again, they went a little deeper, got it all, and suggested immunotherapy at that point, actually, but I read the side effects and I don't take a lot of Western medicine as it is. And so I was just really hesitant. So I said that I was happy with the results, that they'd gotten it all. And then again, just about 12 months later, it came back again. And each time I found it myself, I knew that there was something wrong. But what they determined the third time was that it was actually encased in a gland behind my eye. I'm drawing a blank right now on what the gland is, but it also helps to create tears, like your tear duct. So that's why it kept coming back. It wasn't, they hadn't seen it, but from CAT scans, and it was determined that it was there again. So I didn't want another surgery. It was really hard. The first two were really hard. So this time we all agreed that I would start immunotherapy. So I was on a drug. It's Opdivo. It's also called Nivolumab. And the prescription is 12 times every 4 weeks. And it takes about, the infusion is just like a chemotherapy infusion. It's through your veins. And I would go every 4 weeks and get it. And I was there. It wasn't terrible. I was there for like an hour and a half usually. A lot different than chemotherapy. During treatment, a lot less side effects. Like I didn't lose my hair. I wasn't nauseous. I did really, really well on it. And I think one of the reasons I did really well on it was because I live a really healthy lifestyle and I eat well and I take care of myself and I get exercise and I get sunlight, all the things that I did my whole life to feel good and be healthy and keep my immune system strong, I think helped me so much during treatment to handle it well and feel really good. And the only side effect I really had was that I would get dizzy sometimes. So I thought, this is great. I handled it so well. Wow. And my treatment ended in early January of 2021, I think it was. Within a few weeks, I just started not feeling well one day. My whole family went out hiking and I just didn't want to go, which everyone thought was really strange because I like to do that. And within a few days, I had been running. I'm a runner. So I'd been running through my treatment and yoga. But within a few days of that, like early February, my joints just started to kind of get really stiff and not a lot of pain in my joints, but just stiff. And my muscles in my lower limbs, like my from my knees down and ankles, feet, and my elbows down, the muscles and tendons and ligaments got really hard. Like not, you know, if I'm pushing on my arm now, it has a lot of give and it's soft. It was hard. It was so strange. And I couldn't straighten my fingers all the way. That kind of, everything just felt like it was just curling inward. and my toes. I couldn't flatten my feet out anymore, which was all really scary. And it happened kind of fast. And so the month of February, it just progressed. And to the point where in March and early April, I just didn't want to do anything. I couldn't really exercise. I could barely hold my toothbrush because my fingers were so stiff and I couldn't hold a pencil. Definitely couldn't run, couldn't go to yoga. I kind of just laid in bed. It felt terrible. And I was also really scared because obviously I went to my oncologist and they hadn't really seen that side effect yet from the drug that I was on. It was relatively new and they just hadn't seen that side effect yet. And then along with that, a little more behind, but kind of in March, I guess, my lymphatic system started to react and my legs started swelling. And actually over the course of like one weekend, over 2 or 3 days, I gained like 8 pounds of liquid, which was, or fluid, which was obviously not normal. And again, they hadn't really seen that side effect and my doctors weren't really sure what to do. So they sent me to a lot of different doctors to try and figure out what was going on or if anyone could understand kind of the correlation between my body and the drug. So I saw a neurologist, I saw a cardiologist to make sure with everything my body was healthy. I saw a, I'm drawing a blank now, but the doctor that dealt with my lymphatic system, and they prescribed a steroid to try and get it under control. And I resisted that for about 3 weeks because I didn't like the idea of it. I know that it can do a lot of good, but I know that also that it can be really hard for your body to recover from being on a steroid. So I didn't really want to do that. But it got to the point where I was kind of desperate. So I started taking prednisone and it was a pretty high dose. And so for the first 3 days, you know, I felt amazing. And I was so happy. I thought, this is going to work. This is so exciting. I feel so good. It's starting to calm down. And then it just didn't really work anymore. And I started to not feel well on it. And I didn't like the way that it felt inside my body. I wasn't sleeping and it wasn't really helping anyway. But I had been on such a high dose so quickly that every time I tried to go off of it, like I tried going backing off a little bit at a time because they, you know, the doctors agreed that if it wasn't working, there was no point in being on it. But it took me a good 6 weeks to get off of it because if I went too quickly in dosage, I was exhausted the whole day and couldn't get out of bed. So it took a long time to get off of it. So that didn't work. And I just kind of felt like it was getting to the point of they didn't know what to do. I just remember feeling kind of like a guinea pig. So we could try this, or you could take this pill, or let's try this pill. This medication might work. And I didn't want to do any of that, especially after the experience with prednisone. And I didn't want to be a guinea pig. And I knew in my heart that my body could heal itself, that my body knew what to do. I just had to be strong enough and listen to my intuition, I guess, and brave enough to let my body do it and to look for other answers. Not that I think that the internet is a great place to find answers like that, but
Google.
I did do a lot of searching. What I was really searching for, I guess, was to find out if anyone else had had the symptoms that I had. And I just couldn't find any information on it. And neither could my doctor. Fast forward though, now they have seen those side effects now in other patients, but I just was, I guess, the first in that practice. But I also believe that there aren't a lot of coincidences. So and that's where you come in, Mallory. During the time when I decided that I was going to try something different, I heard your name about 3 or 4 times from different people, from different friends who completely unrelated conversations. And they talked about how gifted you are at what you do and how they had had really what they described as miracles by seeing you. So I try to pay attention to things like that. And I think that's really important in life to stay open and pay attention to the messages maybe that you're receiving. So I made an appointment and in April of that year, and I remember that I went on spring break with my family and everyone was playing in the ocean and doing all these water sports and I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that's it. I'm not going to live like this anymore. And I'm going to find something that will work. Whether it's just me meditating this out of my system or finding other ways to help. So, and that's when your name came in. So pretty much right after that spring break, I made an appointment with you. And I just knew from the very first meeting that it was the right path. And everything that you said and did resonated so much with my body. And I knew my body pretty much reacted right away. I just felt during the first treatment, such a calm come over and a knowing that it was the right path. I just felt so much confidence from you in me describing my symptoms and you knowing, well, okay, your body does this sometimes because of this. And then you had so many great suggestions for foods, even from the first meeting, and maybe some Chinese herbs that I could try. So I knew right then, do anything and everything that she tells you to do. And I did. And every single thing that you suggested was the right answer. Before long, I was feeling so much better. And sure, we can get into all that too. But that's what brought me to you.
Amazing. I want to go back to when you first discovered the melanoma, mostly just for like educational purposes for anybody that's listening. What led you to see that something was wrong? So melanoma is a skin condition. And oftentimes people will have their moles checked or go to the dermatologist and the dermatologist will say, oh, that looks abnormal. Let's take a sample, look at the cells under a microscope, and then come back with the diagnosis. Was that the process that you went through? Were you having any sort of symptoms that caused you to take medical advice?
I wasn't actually. So I started doing like annual or semi-annual dermatologist visits just because getting older and I'm outside a lot. So I was at my dermatologist and it was just a normal appointment and she noticed it and she said, I'm surprised I didn't notice it before, but it's actually a white melanoma, like I said. So it wasn't a discoloration. Friends ask me this a lot, like, how did you know? And I do just encourage people to go to their dermatologist or esthetician, whoever, you know, takes care of your skin. And if you don't have anyone, to find someone, because this woman probably saved my life, actually. And I tell her that all the time. She saw it and said, it just doesn't look right. And I have freckles, so I have a lot of different skin tones going on in my body. And so she said, you know, I just don't love it. I want you to go get it looked at. I'd like you to go to this doctor and he'll do like kind of a more thorough biopsy. But I was just getting started with, I'm a coach, and I was just getting started with the season and my kids were starting school and I just got really busy and I thought, you know, I'll get to that. So I went to her a couple months later and she said, you didn't go yet and get that looked at. And I said, no, I will. And she said, she was very stern and said, if you were my sister or my daughter or my mother, I would drive you there myself. I really don't like it. I really don't like it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I applaud her so much for pushing me and being stern and knowing, like, she knows me as a patient really well and she knows what's changing. But I looked back of pictures of myself and it had been there for a while, actually, but it just was so hard to see. But if I look closely, so that's why I say I never would have known that it was something odd. And so that's why that appointment with her was really important.
Yeah. Wow. And it sounds like it wasn't one that was growing or changing. And then when it came back, did it take on the same form in the same area? I know you said that it was coming from the glands, but was it just showing on the skin? And then they noticed that the root was within the gland. Do you know?
So the first time it came back, I specifically remember it was at the corner of my eye. I felt like a little coil under my skin. It just, because I was touching it, there was a lot of scar tissue there. And so I would like massage it every day to get rid of it. And the surgery went so well, the scar looked so good that it wasn't like a noticeable thing anymore, but I was like touching it every day. So anyway, I felt like what seemed like a little rope under my skin. So I went back to the doctor that, the surgeon that had removed it, and he biopsied it. And he said that it was again, melanoma cells. And you know, he was crushed and he felt terrible, but, in hindsight, it was because it had traveled into that gland and was basically encased. So even though they had clear margins, it's called. So they do a surgery, take it all out, make sure it's clear margins. There were clear margins, but it had passed through to that gland. So that was the problem. And then the second time, it was also me. I was at that point getting CAT scans every 3 months. I also noticed it before a CAT scan. So it can grow really quickly because I was noticing it before the 3 month period both times. I just noticed, like, I think at that point it was kind of like a mass that didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And so I went in again and it was there again. So, and I continued with CAT scans every 3 months for 2 years. And then I was on, every 6 months, I guess 2 years from the beginning, I was on every 6 months. And then recently this last visit, I just went to 1 year. So a CAT scan once a year. It's still, I don't love getting CAT scan. I know putting all that in your body, I don't like that. There's a lot that you have to ingest and then they use the machine, but not quite there yet to not get one. It's kind of like that little insurance policy. Again, I knew what I do feel optimistic about is that I knew both times that it came back. I knew before they did. I knew how my body felt. I knew what my skin felt like. And I think that's really important to be like very aware of your human body and what's happening and what's normal and what's not normal. Mm-hmm. And knowing how your skin feels and how bumps might feel on your body. Like, I just think it's really important to be aware of your body.
Absolutely. And even like what you were saying before, to go and have different experiences with other professionals, whether it be an esthetician, a dermatologist, a massage therapist, somebody mm-hmm. who does your waxing, you know, just as women, we take care of our body in a different way than I think most men do. And because of that, having other people, women, professionals look at our body without judgment and just concern can help us to identify anything that just might seem abnormal that we would want to get checked out. It doesn't mean that it would be something, you know, serious, but it's very helpful to have people and friends that can look at us in that particular way. So,
and I think it's so important too, that if you feel something that's not right or see something that's not right, even though it can be kind of scary and maybe you don't really want to know, to just go, because sometimes that can save your life. I mean, if I had by the third time that it came back, it was progressing and I was stage 3 when I started the immunotherapy. So if I had not listen to my dermatologist, I might not be alive today. And so sometimes timing really matters and sometimes you just can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And putting fear and our own judgment and insecurities aside, knowing that just what you said in the beginning, that we're brave enough, we have the resources to be able to overcome this and then to do anything else that we need to do as part of the process, which is something that I want to talk to you about as well, that I'll save for a little later down the road. But going back to your symptoms, so I don't know if we ever talked about the immunotherapy drug that you were on, and it's one that I'll have to look into because I just love to really look at the chemistry of the pharmacology or the pharmaceuticals, because so many of them are based off of herbal therapy, but then many of them aren't too. And your symptoms, so what happened is it sounds like the immunotherapy took away your yin. And in Chinese medicine, your yin is your most vital resource. So it is the water in our body. It's what keeps our eyes moist, our nose, our orifices. It keeps our joints from clicking. It nourishes our organs. It's the lymphatic system. It's what coats our organs. It plays such a vital role. And when things get down to it, it's either yin or yang. And yin is very cooling and yang is warming and heating. And you can have extremes and deficiencies of both. So what it sounds like is that the immunotherapy just sucked all the yin out of your body to the point where you went into what we would consider on a spectrum, an extreme yin. So you were on the far side of yin where your body was starting to dry out. And as a result of that, like you mentioned, your system was coiling in. And that coiling in and that tightening is the body, again, drying out. So you can think of the extreme like a desert. And the reason why it does that is because it wants to protect your core. It wants to protect your vital organs because your periphery, your arms and your legs were losing those fluids. Your body likely was taking them from your extremities and moving those fluids to the organs to protect your organs, which is kind of scary and crazy to think about. And then, and correct me if I'm wrong as far as order of events, but did the edema start when you started the prednisone, or did that happen? That happened before the steroid?
No, I think it kind of started when I started the prednisone. Yeah, that's right. Maybe a little before. I don't think it was like in direct correlation with it. And for that, I did a lot of research. I know so much more about the lymphatic system now, which I love because it's so amazing. I had no idea. And like our Western medicine has admitted, there's so much they don't know yet about our lymphatic system. Like they only recently discovered that there are lymph nodes in your skull, and that most of your lymph nodes are actually in your gut. And which makes perfect sense when you think about like your immune system and your gut and your lymphatic system and how it all works together. It kind of helps me understand like what happened to me as far as that's concerned. But luckily I found, again, someone mentioned to me that because I tried to go through, my oncologist gave me the name of one, but it was just such an impersonal experience. It was like the clinic and a lymphatic massage specialist, and it was just too clinical for me. And it wasn't relaxing, and there was too much going on. It was also where the physical therapy was happening. My body was just kind of put the walls up against that. So I got a name of someone for my lymphatic drainage. She's a lymphatic drainage massage person. She was the best one that I found, and I tried a few, and she was amazing. And I went once or twice a week at first. She would always measure like above my knees, let's say, before and after the hour long. And I would lose sometimes like 10 centimeters off the circumference of above my knees. It was so crazy. Yeah, she helped tremendously with that. But it did. I think back and I remember, like, I specifically remember you telling me like to eat a lot of watery foods, a lot of hydrating things, and then to eat honey. Like if I wanted it, have a spoonful. And if it just tasted so amazing that I had to have more, to have more. And I loved that prescription because it was like truly listening to your body. Because I try to eat like that anyway. Like I try to listen to what is my body asking for right now. With that honey, it was really cool because sometimes I would want 3-4 teaspoons, or sometimes I would do one and I was like, okay, that's enough. And then when you were talking about like adding fluid and getting it back into my limbs, every day I had this whole system after you told me about that. And when I walked the dog, I would start with my fingers and I would like do this. Each finger, and then move to my wrist, and then I would do this, and then I'm doing this, and then I would stop and do my knees. Like, so every day I had the same system, like 2 or 3 times a day to get all that. It, something so simple, like it wasn't a pill that I was taking. It wasn't hurting me. It wasn't causing other side effects or making things worse. Such simple things. If we just understand our bodies the way that Eastern medicine does, mm-hmm. Like I've been blown away time and time again by the new understanding of what is going on in my body based on Eastern medicine. And it's never been off. It's never, ever once been off. You've never been off.
Cool. That's a quotable. Thank you. Well, and so going back, I just looked at my notes. Yes, you came the first time we met with the lymphedema in your legs and ankles, but it wasn't as much. And so what the body is going to do is when it notices that extreme dryness, like I said, it's going to protect the organs, but it's also going to have this like, oh, shoot moment, just as what you were saying before, is the lymphatic system is what helps to keep us healthy. And so there were probably some toxic cells in your system from what you had gone through, whether it was the surgery, the immunotherapy, your body just cleaning out from day to day, keeping you healthy, any colds or flus maybe that were really minor. And because of Chinese medicine physiology, the yang in your body was less than. And the vital yang is found within our kidneys, and it's what keeps everything lifting and holding and raising. And when we talk about the steroid use, that's what the steroid does. The steroid is like caffeine, extreme caffeine, that kicks the kidneys and the adrenals, that raises your ultimate yang. And in Chinese medicine, the lymphatic system is seen as your triple burner, your san jiao. And what that means is it's what regulates your waterways and the system. To give a little bit of a visual, you have a bubbling spring here at your chest. You have a bubbling spring at your mid-abdomen, just above your belly button. And then you have another bubbling spring right below the belly button, closer to the pelvis. So as you can imagine, those springs are just going up and out and kind of moving water and fluids throughout your entire system. Your third bubbling spring near the pelvis was deficient. It just wasn't working as well. So throwing that steroid in is going to boost that spring to help your waterways, your lymphatic system, work more efficiently. But we would say from a borrowed perspective, it's like sticking a hose in you and saying, you know, this is how we're going to replenish fluids. When we do that, it helps the body because of that movement, but it also slows things down. And when I gave you the first suggestion of the honey, honey and maple syrup are the ultimate yin when it comes to resources as far as glucose, trace minerals, and trace minerals are things like magnesium, manganese, potassium, vitamin C, very simple minerals. And our body and our brain depends on glucose the most. Nothing else is going to give us as much as glucose. When we ingest that amount of glucose, you're getting the ultimate yin. So you're getting those fluids, but you're also getting a high volume of glucose that's going to then push those fluids and push those minerals into your muscles. That's going to help that suppleness that was lacking in your body because of the dryness. So we wanted to replenish fluids. I remember you were coming in and there was some concern about taking in that much glucose. And I just remember saying, like, just keep doing it. And you were like, I know, I am, like, in the back of my head, I'm concerned, but I'm just still doing it. And I think that's, you know, where listening to your body and your intuition, and I think I might have even told you, if you take it in and you're just like, oh, then it's too much, because we can have too much of a good thing. So that's where we started with replenishing your yin. And any sort of fruit or sweet flavored, naturally grown vegetable fruit is what's going to do that for us. And that's something that we need to replenish really on a day-to-day basis. Do you remember how long you had that relationship with honey? Because I know the sweet flavor in Chinese medicine, there's five flavors, and we specifically worked with two, which we'll talk about the other one. Do you remember how long you really worked with the sweet flavor and you were taking in generally a lot of fruits and vegetables?
Yeah. I like fruit, but it wasn't like my go-to. Like, I love vegetables. I eat them all the time and I always have. And fruit didn't have like a great relationship with fruit, but you kept telling me you just have to eat more fruit. So I did. And so now it's funny. Now I do eat a lot more fruit just on a normal basis than I used to. I kind of let go. You know, there's so much like, oh, food has so much sugar. You have to watch out how much you eat. And intuitively, I always thought that just seems really odd. Like, fruit is growing everywhere. Like, humanity has always had it there to choose from. And so, you know, that's another just example through this process of maybe not listening to other things in society and who has an opinion and what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and just listening to your body. Because now I have fruit almost every morning, and fruits and vegetables, like maybe in a shake, and just feels good in my body. The honey, I feel like it was maybe 2 months. I remember when the first time I came to see you, you asked me, you know, we went through the whole timeline and when did it all start? And you said to me, I would imagine that you're going to start feeling a lot better by like September. And so this was April, I think. And so it just seemed like a really long time at that point. Like I said, I believed in what we were doing. I trusted you. And I just was patient and knew that my body would work it all out. And like, sure enough, I remember I was starting to coach. I start August 1st is when the fall athletes start. I coach cross country, so I run with the kids, and I couldn't run that fall yet because we started August 1st. So I would ride my bike, and it was actually even hard to ride my bike because it was hard to hold onto the handlebars. So I got like a silly mom bike, looked like someone's grandma pedaling along with my cross country team. I remember Labor Day weekend, I went for a little run. And then by mid-September, I was running with my team. You know, a little bit at a time, but I was running with my team. And it was really, really amazing.
One of the things that I love so much about you, and you really kind of set the pace for so many patients to come after you, which was that statement of, I want to do this as naturally as I possibly can. And I feel like the answers are within our environment. And I always get excited when people say that because it's true. It's the strong belief and the ability, like you're saying, to trust that and to trust the guidance and the process. And that this idea that we can take a steroid, and like you said, I felt better, you know, within a couple of days, that the healing is going to be that fast. And I think part of the reason why I gave you that 6-month timeline was really to open a perspective of, I knew that you were in this no matter what, but just like how a baby develops, you know, you don't really start seeing that a woman is definitively pregnant and that the baby is secure until the second trimester, which is when we get into month 4, 5, and 6. And so the body will take sometimes months, 3 months, you know, 6 weeks, 12 weeks to really start to integrate and get the signals and absorb and understand, like, oh, this is what we're doing now. Oh, okay. And on top of all that, it's all natural. And like you're saying, with the lymphatic system being connected to the immune system, your body's going to be able to get stronger in so many other ways because everything that was going in was natural. And one of the other flavors, so just to give the listeners, we have those 5 flavors, which is the sweet, pungent, or spicy. And then Heather and I worked with the salty flavor. So I want to talk about that one. And then we also have the sour flavor and then kind of this like bland flavor. So tell me about, and I'll explain too from a Chinese medicine perspective, but I do remember the moment when you came in and I said, okay, now we're going to start to integrate some of the salty flavor because of the symptoms that you were having, more so related to the lymphedema. So using the salty flavor to change the disposition, to change how the fluids were working in your body. And you said to me, oh my gosh, I am craving the salty flavor and I love, what did you say? Seaweed and kelp. I'm eating a lot of seaweed and kelp.
And miso. So, miso, I was eating miso, yeah, with a spoon. Just could not get enough. Yeah.
I think I was like, yay.
Yeah. Actually, and that happened actually still to this day. When I come see you, I'll like tell you something maybe that my body's been craving, then tell you what's going on with me. And it just makes sense. I just remember thinking it's so crazy. Like our bodies will start asking for what they need before we even know it, before, yes, we even know why.
I love that statement. Yeah. So tell us what your relationship with the salty flavor was like, what it was like to eat that in volumes and how it felt in your body, if you remember.
Yeah, definitely remember putting miso on everything. kimchi, miso, seaweed. I wanted all those things. And then I would add like salt, like Celtic salt or Himalayan salt to my water, like not a ton. Mm-hmm. It's not like drinking salt water, but just a little bit every day. I still do that every day, like in my water in the morning. I put a half a lemon, 2 shakes of salt, and then the trace minerals in my water, and like with 60 ounces of water. And that's just what I start every day with. Like That's a non-negotiable. I definitely have some non-negotiables to start my day now. I've learned a lot over this experience about taking care of myself and putting all those things first. Because when your life depends on it, you'll do it. And I think hopefully you'll do it. And I think that most people think that it won't happen to me or it won't be that serious. But sometimes you only get one chance to take care of your immune system the way that you should before it's too late. I thought I was taking care of my immune system. Like, I felt like I was doing all the right things. This whole experience really helped me hone in even more so on what my body is asking for on any given day. So like, if I do want something salty, or if I do want, sometimes I literally will think honey would taste so good right now. It just pops into my head and I'll go instead of thinking, oh, I don't need that sugar in my body. Honey is from bees and it's natural and they're there for a reason. And it's like this wonderful creation. Like that's how I look at it now. So I'll go get the honey. Most other things for that matter that are, you know, I try to eat things from the earth. Things that are whole and think about why I might be eating them. The whole experience with you, it actually changed my entire relationship with food. I truly, truly look at it as a way to nourish ourselves to save our own lives.
You're speaking truth. It's so beautiful to hear because so many women have such an skewed relationship with food, myself included at one point. And because of everything that's out there and all the noise and the simplicity that Chinese medicine brings really allows for us to say, okay, well, if this is all that we have, if this is the five flavors that we have, of these five flavors, what do I need? Even if I only give myself a little bit, or if I am eating too much of one of these five flavors, is that hurting my body? Like what you were saying about, you know, sometimes with the honey, you would take four or five scoops. And that's what your body wants. And we can always have too much of a good thing, but it's such an amazing reference for me in studying this medicine and teaching patients that that's your foundation. And the salty flavor is similar to the sour or to the sweet flavor rather, because of those trace minerals that are just naturally found in the salt flavor, no matter where you get it from, whether it's from seafood, sea veggies, or from salt in itself. And that salty flavor is what's going to help to astringe and pull in and help your body to hold fluids so that you're not dry and starting to coil in. I also remember touching you and how hot your body felt as well. And I can't believe the desert analogy didn't come to me before when we were working together, because that really is what was happening in your body. You needed a consistent rainfall with very little sun and kind of cloudy days. And those are the characteristics that the salty and sweet flavor take on. They replenish us and we need to be, you know, replenished every single day. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, would you be willing to share some of your non-negotiables?
Oh, sure. I'm a little older, so I had a big career and I just sent my last child to college. So I'm kind of in a place in life where I can take a little extra time in the morning, which is really nice. But also because I think I so much more value every single moment of every single day now. So I kind of feel like, you know what, it's okay if I take more time in the morning, or if I have to get up at 5 because I need to be somewhere at 8, I will do that because I need my non-negotiables. So when I first open my eyes, I lay in bed and just kind of quietly absorb the morning, like the day. And I try to have gratitude. I just kind of lay there and try to absorb the gratitude of waking up in the morning, waking up another day. I always have to have like a good 5-minute snuggle with my dog, because start the morning with some love, with some physical affection, which is a nice chemical released in your body.
Yes.
And then when I get up, like I said, I do a big water. I don't drink it all at one time, but I fill up a big, like 60-ounce water with half a lemon, salt, and trace minerals. And then I need to go sit and have some quiet time. So in the summer, or when it's nice out, or not too terrible, I'll just put on a sweater if it's chilly, but I go outside. I really get outside immediately. in the morning and get daylight, sunlight. If it's dark out still and I just don't want to go out yet, I'll sit beside a window and open the window so that I can hear animals and birds and smell what it smells like outside. It's just really important to my body to have sunlight, nature, and then I'll go for a walk. Old me, like younger, busier, get out there, would open my eyes, jump out of bed, put my running shoes on and go run 5 miles or whatever. Like that's how I opened my day. And, you know, and that worked at that point in my life, but it was just, looking back now, I just feel like, oh my gosh, that was so busy. It was so crazy. So starting my day off a lot slower and kinder and gentler has been huge for me. Like the walk, what I do on my walk, I still on my walks, I have the habit. So, but I'll just like twist my wrists and twist my neck. And I do lymphatic breathing every morning because I still see my lymphatic drainage massage person, like every 6 weeks. Sometimes I have swelling if I'm standing like for hours and hours, but so it's still sensitive, but I go to her, about every 6 or 8 weeks, just to do a full body lymphatic massage, to keep it all in working order. And I actually think that I will forever. I think everyone should do that. We have no idea, I think, how we really should care for our lymphatic system. There's so much more to learn, like we said. I do like deep breathing, whether it's box breathing or I have all kinds of like, you know, Wim Hof breathing methods that I use when I'm walking my dog to get my lymphatic system pumping. And the walking too, like helps. And then, you know, come back and I try really hard to not like start my day like social media or meetings or business or like I will not have a meeting if I can possibly help it before 10 a.m. because it just doesn't work for my life right now. I think it kind of just all boils down to me protecting my solitude and my time to really honor my body and the space that it's taking up for still being here. And it sounds like silly, but I mean, I would say it every day of my life. I have a husband, I have children. I can't even tell you how grateful I am every minute to still be here. So having gone through what I went through was definitely really hard. Don't need to do it again. If I ever have to though, I know that I can, and that I know that I could survive it again because of the trust that I've built up with my body, with different practitioners that I work with like you. But it also helps me all that morning meditation, quiet time, writing, journaling. That's what I do with, you know, the coffee, the quiet time in the morning, all the things to help me be strong and confident and live without fear.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. And I just want to say, right? Like the rest of the day is kind of get a little more exercise at some point during the day. That involves either stretching or strength training, cooking. I love to cook. I cook almost every day because I like to be in charge of what I'm eating and what my family is, you know, making sure they're having good nourishing things. So another non-negotiable is Whole Foods. And I don't have a certain way that I eat. You know, sometimes I eat meat, sometimes I don't. I really don't eat gluten and dairy. Kind of a side note. And actually, I should come back in and see you, Mallory. I haven't been in there for a while. I've had a lot of gut health issues. You know, therapy, I think just that experience kind of did a number on my gut health, that as I'm getting healthier and healthier and healthier and letting go of like the things that were life stopping that were keeping me in bed, I'm like really fine tuning everything in my body now. And so now I'm just making sure that like my gut health is as it should be. And it wasn't, it was putting all that toxic medicine in your body, although it saved my life probably, was it takes a long time to unwind and to fix. And I'm like a few years out and still dealing with it, but you know, perseverance, persistence.
Yeah. Looking back, what would you say you've learned and overcome, and how would you say you've grown? I know that you talked a lot about how you treat your body, but one thing that we didn't really get into, and I know it's a huge factor, and it's one of the three in Chinese medicine, the physical, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual toll that any sort of circumstance or event can take on the body. From more that mental, emotional, and spiritual perspective, which you did touch on a little bit with your non-negotiables, what does it look like for you looking back, and how can you see in a positive, and you speak so much about optimism in a way now, looking back at it, what have you learned?
I mean, there were some really dark moments during that time. I remember the second surgery, like I said, was pretty extensive. And like the surgeon had explained to me that he was going to have to take a lot bigger part of my skin off and probably like into my eyelid. And so what I had in my head of what was going on under that bandage, because it was this huge bandage and my body does not do well on like painkillers. So I wasn't taking any, which was excruciating. So the fear of what I would look like when the band-aids came off and, you know, would I be able to see normally? So I kind of just went into my room right from the surgery and I didn't come out. And by like the third day, and I didn't really want to see anyone. I was kind of just spiraling into like a black hole. My husband finally let one of my best friends in, who's a yogi and yoga instructor and a really strong spiritual presence in my life too. And she just came in and kind of like threw me a rope and just like held my hand and talked to me. I vividly remember it. And I kind of was able to pull myself a little bit above water. And that was probably, I mean, I've had some really sad things happen in the past 10 years. But those 3 days were probably like the darkest in my life, because I think I lost hope of my own self, my own body, and felt disappointed and frustrated and scared of the future, of what had happened and why me. But just, I think, one little rope from her and someone that I trusted so much. And that's, you know, it says a lot for like the human connection too. And surrounding ourselves with people who will be the one to come in and look at you when you're scary and throw you a rope. I was able to see, like, I had so much to live for. It didn't matter how I looked because I got to be alive. And I say that now, I always think like, if it ever comes back and I ever have to have another surgery, I was really afraid. They were really afraid that it would jump to my eyeball. So I also see an ocular oncologist who looks at that. And I always thought, what if I lose my eye? What if I actually lose my eye? But I know that, you know, through that whole experience, it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter to me what I look like anymore, because what is inside of my soul is so much more beautiful than it was before this experience. And the way that I approach my day and the spirituality that I have and my closeness to like my creator and to life is so much more intense and deeper because I went through that whole experience. Like the gratitude that I feel to my body and to like God to have overcome all that, to have been given the gift of like fortitude and strength and to like hang in there and overcome all that. You know, obviously I'm not hunky dory all the time. I have some bad days too. I don't know if I would be in that same place without such a difficult, challenging experience. I think it's so important. And the message that I give to my kids all the time is your immune system is everything. It's the way to prevent every disease, sickness, every physical bad thing, aside from like a car accident, stuff like that. But you can avoid so much pain and disappointment and struggle if you take care of your immune system, really, really take care of your immune system and really eat those foods that nourish you and whole foods, no preservatives, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, no artificial sweeteners, because that is all toxic to our bodies. And so like the cooking of our own meals, and that's, you know, that's a gift that I've passed on to my kids, is to teach them how to cook. All of that, and just living through that and being so sure in all of those things to have lived the experience, to know. And now I never even catch a sniffle because I'm really adamant. But I mean, I eat ice cream. It's not like I'm so strict. Eating ice cream is fun and it tastes good. You know, it's a more healthy relationship with me, kind of with everything. And you said something before when you were talking about Chinese medicine, you said it's so simplistic. And I think that's what drew me to it so much, as you talked to me and taught me things. And you always, I mean, I would be with you for what felt like such a long time every time. And then I would always beg for you to leave me with the needles in, which said no one ever. begged to leave needles in me because it was such a calming experience. But I learned so much, and it all, you know, sometimes when you talk to a Western medicine doctor, the words are so big and it's so hard to understand. And it's like what you should put in your body. If the word is so big on the ingredient list that you don't understand it, you probably shouldn't put it in your body.
Yeah.
And it was the same with Western medicine. Sometimes it's so hard to understand, but the way that you would explain to me in Eastern medicine what was going on in my body and how to treat it was so simplistic, and it made so much sense to me. And I think that's how I knew that it was the right thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And the feelings that you had and what you overcame, you know, the ability, I think, to get closer to ourself is almost what I would see as a summary of that question of looking back is, you know, being able to go through your experience and saying, hold on a second, you know, I'm at this place, I need a friend, and I need to get back to myself. And what do I need to do that? And growing and gaining a closer relationship with yourself and what you need is above all that any medical professional could say. And to take away your own intuition and your own processing and knowing what you need is something that invalidates that intuition. And I personally was always so proud of you and our conversations when we would talk about things or you'd have a symptom and you would already have an indication or a sign that a feeling that it was something that you should be doing or including. And I tell a lot of my patients who have been through something similar, not only to listen to that, but I can only see so much. It's your experience. It's your process. You are your best healer. You are the one that really has the answers. And it is difficult to treat ourselves and to see because we are the one having our experience. But when we are able to move through the emotions and say almost in a compartmentalized way, what do I need today? What does my body want? You know, of these five flavors, or a lot of the twisting and moving that you were doing is from Qigong and Tai Chi, you know, what type of movement does my body need? Like, I don't want to get up and run. I want to slow down my pace, but I am still a runner. You know, I don't want all those preservatives, but I still want to be able to enjoy life. And I think going through something that you've gone through, you do see yourself on a very far side of that spectrum. And it's about coming back to your balance and then allowing yourself to move, you know, just fluidly in between those spaces and like how far, you know, you want to go, that threshold that you want to take yourself. How many times a week do you want to have ice cream?
Yeah. Like I used to be really strict with myself about, you know, I would run on these days. I always ran on these days and I would have to run this much, or with meals. And I was just a more strict, like my guardrails were pretty tight. But now, like you said, there's more of a flow between, you know, it's not between here and here anymore. It's more like, and there are many days when I'll start out to run and I'll think, I just don't feel this today. And I'll stop and walk or go do Pilates, or sometimes I just know when I just need to sit longer and have quiet time, or, you know, go to breakfast with someone in my family or a friend. It's just a more fluid existence, I think, which it feels much better in my body than such a rigid lifestyle. And I share this message with everyone that will listen to me, aside from taking care of yourself. And I think so many people, including me, have so many excuses. There's not enough time. You're too busy. Your kids, your whatever. If I don't have my health, I have nothing. Like, forget it. I have nothing. And my kids therefore have nothing either. They don't have a mom because I laid in bed for a month and got to experience that. I think when you're not ready to take the step to take true care of yourself and making excuses, you have to really examine why. You have to really take some quiet time and examine why. Like, why am I not putting myself, my health, as a priority in my life? And also that to believe in yourself, to believe in ourselves, that my body has the power to do almost anything. It just takes time and patience sometimes, lots of pep talks, but always, always to believe in yourself and your body, your body's ability to heal itself. Like I had this conversation many times with my oncologist, actually, because I talked to her about you. She knew all about you. She thought it was really wonderful. And she was really, really happy that I had found someone to help, because I think that she felt really frustrated also. She was really wonderful, but I think she felt really, she was amazing at what she did, but the aftermath and the side effects were not her specialty. And unfortunately, at that point they were no one's specialty, it seemed like. To believe in our body's ability to heal itself if we just don't give up. And she said all the time, they asked me a lot to talk to other cancer patients about not giving up. I watched it happen with people in my life where they finally just gave in and died. It is exhausting and taxing, that treatment, going to a place where all those people are sick. It's terrible. It's a terrible environment. And having lived through it, I can see why people just basically get worn out and give up. And, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, just give up. If you can resist that and find all the reasons to live for, that's what I did. Like, I just thought every day, even the hard days, like all the wonderful reasons, things that I had to live for. Never, ever give up. I never gave up on myself, and I never gave up on my body's ability to do what it was meant to do. And luckily, I had people like you that were cheering me on, showing me the way and being, you know, like such a good teacher.
It's so important to have a team. You know, I'll tell patients, and I wanted to mention this when you were talking before about continuing to do the lymphatic massage, continuing to do the acupuncture, you know, not to the degree and the regularity that you were before, but maintaining those relationships, because that's what helped you, you know, through your journey, but also because of how they work your entire system. They help your entire body. I think we have talked about the lymphatic system and stressed its importance so much that without it, you know, we become stuck and swollen, and then that just creates more inflammation. And acupuncture is so unique in the sense that it works with your entire body. You know, it sees your system as like one complete thing and being, and it wants to find the excesses and the deficiencies and the compensations to help your body stay in that harmony and in that balance. And that's something that, you know, we need at least on a seasonal basis. And so I love that you continue with both, and, you know, anybody else who was a part of your team, it's important to not just look at one person to be, you know, your all and your everything and to have all the answers, because it takes a village. You know, I mean, I never expected to reference pregnancy and fertility during our conversation, but it's true. It's like it takes a village to raise a child and a family. And it really does take a village to take care of ourselves. And I want to just mention too, you did make mention of it, but Heather and I also did do acupuncture treatments. I think you were coming once a week or every 2 weeks for quite a while. You also did herbs as well, and those followed a lot of the same principles that I mentioned with the food therapy. So we cleared a lot of heat, we nourished your yin, replenished those fluids, astringed, you know, we tonified your body, we strengthened you. So there is a beautiful cohesion that happens between Chinese herbs and food therapy, which we just followed right along. We talked a lot about movement medicine, you know, running versus the meditation and the quiet time and the Qigong. We also talked a lot about the importance of rest. And there's a lot of things that I won't ever forget about our time together. But I just remember when you were coming down off of the steroid and you said to me, Mallory, I was sitting in my backyard and it was getting ready to rain. And it was like, I think it was already drizzling at that point. And you said, I was so tired and I had stuff I wanted to do, but I didn't have to do. So I just went outside, sat in my chair, and I let the rain come down on me. And I just said to myself, I'm going to get through this. And it was such, I think, a pivotal point in your healing because I saw it in you, but also because there was a little bit of that yielding that happens. This is where I am. I'm going to stay at this yellow light. I'm going to let life pass me by. I'm not going to do anything that I don't need to do or have to do. I'm just going to let myself heal. The imagery and just the way that you explained it and how you said you felt afterwards and that it was a turning point for you is what healing is all about. You know, the message that you so eloquently stated of like, listen to your body and take time, and you've transformed. You know, I wonder if like 20 years ago, you ever thought that like you would be the person that you are now. So it's just such a beautiful process that you were able and willing to envelope all that Chinese medicine had to offer. So
I remember
100 times, thank you for that.
Thank you. When you would give me different herbs, sometimes you would say, okay, this one can taste pretty bad. So, but a lot of times I would take it and my body wanted more. I actually didn't think it tasted bad. You would say, you know, you might want to put it in juice or water. And I would just do a dropper and see how it felt. And sometimes it was horrible. And I would add some orange juice. But there were times too when it just was either like, it might have been really bitter, maybe really bitter, but it just tasted good to me. And I thought that was so entertaining because I knew it's like when I take like different vitamins now. Sometimes I can literally chew them because I know my body just wants them. And that was so interesting to me with the Chinese herbs too, is that they often, and then they would stop tasting good. And I felt like it was my body's way of being like, okay, we've gotten enough of that. You can move on to something else now.
Nice.
It was so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it's the opposite. People are like, oh my gosh, this tastes awful. And I'll just say, well, in Chinese medicine, that means you need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, with you, it was your body already knew what it wanted and it knew what it liked and it knew, you know, when it had enough of that too.
But I think the like a really important message to me is that I'm not unique in that way. Our bodies all know. Like we all know. Every single one of us are made of the same things. We all know.
Yeah. 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 Some of us just take the time to develop that relationship with ourselves and to see our body as, you know, our best friend, as opposed to one that we want to run from and abandon because of society and circumstances and, you know, just how created the culture has created, you know, that outward satisfaction when the inward is just where all the bliss and the confidence and the ease and the trust come from.
And it's talking through this. I guess I never really thought about it before, but as we've had this conversation, I've definitely realized that having a relationship with Chinese medicine and Chinese philosophy through you and all your guidance has definitely helped me have a better relationship with like my own body, like a more healthy relationship with my body and with food. Definitely.
I love that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Heather, I think that this is just a really good time to say thank you so much for being here, for joining. I know that a lot of people are going to listen to this and gain so much from it. I should have known, but I just came in with no expectations that there were a lot of really good information, not only through the process that you went through, but also what it means to connect with ourselves and to be here and how it's okay to go through things that are uncomfortable and don't feel good and scare us and know that we were made to go through it and we were meant to go through the situation and have the experience because there's just a different part of us that's already within us waiting for us on the other side. Thank you so much for sharing and all your wisdom that came with it too.
Thank you. I'll never be able to repay you for how you helped me. I mean, there are definitely a handful of people that I truly believe helped save my life, and you're one of them. I can never repay you enough.
Well, thank you. It was my honor and my pleasure, and I mean, shoot, it's fun.
I just keep sending you patients.
What? Oh yeah. Thank you.
I send as many people to you as I can. So, and I hear story upon story of ways that you've helped people, my own family included. We can have a whole nother podcast on all the ways you've helped every member of my family.
I know. I'm already thinking of like branches that we could take off from here. Well, thank you so much, Heather. Absolutely. I really appreciate you being here. And probably see you next time. Thank you for listening to Through the Funnel. I hope you found something useful. If you have and you like what you've heard, share around and leave a review on Apple. To get in touch, learn more about me and my classes, visit my website at sourcemedicinalarts.com. Till next time.